Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Gentlemen, guys, bros, men, and to all of you who's ever tried to wrap your heads around the never-ending circus that has been the feminist movement in the last few years, and for the last four in particular. Thank you for having me today. I truly am honored that you would have me. I hope you're ready for some truth bombs today. And let's dive into the reality that many are hesitant to confront. The farce that feminism has become in the last 4 years. And now, frankly, men, you have been assaulted by it. I gave you a little bit about me. Again, my name is Cicely, and this is a part of the Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. And so thank you for those who are watching this right now, for those who are tuning in and or listening, to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Now, if I were to give these very same remarks that I'm going to give today in front of a crowd full of women, they would more than likely run at me with pitchforks and charge for me having the audacity to mansplain in front of you. But I'm not here to bash women, and I'm not here to bash feminism. In fact, feminism is a good thing. In fact, it's great, right? Feminism is noble. It's basically about equal rights. It's about equal pay, right? And that in itself is noble. Now, let me be frank. I just want to say that I absolutely love being a woman. I love being feminine. I love being a woman here in America. As a woman in America, I am an equal. I'm not at a loss. I'm not overlooked. And I am not inferior to men, in spite of the rhetoric that we have been told, particularly in the last 4 years. But I am weaker. Generally, I am weaker. I am slower. I'm shorter. And I'm fatter than the average man. We're going to talk about that. Now, outside of the ability to give birth, which men have been so graciously to acknowledge that it's a superpower of women, that's who women are. I am generally physically weaker, shorter, slower, and fatter than you are. Yes, as an anti-feminist woman, I am here to admit that. Now, as I said, I'm going to ask that you allow me this biological breakdown of women. A lot of this you already know. There's some doctors in the audience, right? Some of you in the medical field. This is just general knowledge, which, by the way, is absolutely true and proven. Okay? As you all know, men and women differ physically and biologically in every fundamental way possible, primarily due to their distinct roles in reproduction and evolution. On a basic level, men tend to have greater muscle mass and physical strength due to higher levels of testosterone. I don't have testosterone, which promotes muscle development and bone density, right? Men typically have a higher basal metabolic rate, meaning you burn more quickly than I do. Damn it. We hate that. Women, we absolutely hate that. In contrast, women, I have a higher percentage of body fat. We absolutely hate that as well, which is essential for reproduction and for childbearing, as you know. Women's bodies are designed to carry and nurture offspring. We have wider hips for childbirth. We have larger breasts for lactation. Yes, you have breasts, but ours are larger. Thank God. Thank God. Yay! And we have a more complex reproductive system that includes ovaries and uterus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Biologically, these differences extend to the hormonal systems that regulate various functions. Men experience higher levels of testosterone, which influences not only physical traits like facial hair and a deeper voice, but also behavioral characteristics such as aggression, competitiveness, and risk-taking. Men, you are seed. You are source. You are first. You are the lead. Men conquer. Men build things. Men create. And in spite of the long-stated notion, You are not the head of the household. You're not.
That's my fault.
You're not head of household. You're actually the foundation. So we had you in the wrong place. You're the foundation of the household. The family takes your name. The wife leaves and cleaves. And the children are your seed. It's why up until March of 2024, the Navy SEALs was a boys-only club, right? Because of those physical attributes that I talked about earlier. Because of the extreme physical strength and the demanding requirements that extend beyond female physical ability, and quite frankly, interest. Really not interested in that. Let the guys go do that. Now, that brings me to something fundamental here. The natural differences between men and women are not a curse. In fact, they're a gift. Men and women complement each other. When we try to completely erase these roles, we do a disservice to the sexes. Men, you should feel empowered to be strong and to be assertive and lead without being told you're perpetuating a culture of oppression. Women should feel empowered to be nurturing and graceful and independent and pretty without being told they're letting the patriarchy win. We need to stop judging men for having ambitions that reflect their true masculine nature, just like we need to stop judging women for embracing their femininity. Now, back to a bit of politics, because it's really addressing who I am and why I'm actually here today. I was ecstatic, as I said, for the results of November 5th. Donald Trump's re-election represents more than just a political comeback. It signals the return of a kind of masculinity that for many has been lost and maligned in recent years. His unapologetic style, his bold leadership, the embrace of traditional masculine traits like strength and decisiveness and confidence offer a counterbalance to the confusion that has come with the rise of woke ideologies. Now, I have a moderate friend that described this modern feminism like this. Listen to what he said. Modern feminism, especially in the last 4 years with the rise of the woke agenda, has become increasingly divisive. It's a force in society rather than a unifying one. He says that the movement for gender equality has morphed into the ideology that often alienates and pits the two sexes against each other. And I completely disagree with that perspective wholeheartedly, because from where I stood, men were never against women. When were you ever against women? When were you ever against femininity? When were you ever against your wives or your mothers or your sisters? I don't remember that. So I disagree with his perspective. I never heard a man disagree with a female CEO. Never heard a man disagree with having female soldiers or female politicians or great female athletes or doctors or attorneys. I've never heard any man disapprove, for that matter, a really beautiful Victoria's Secret model as well, right? Modern feminism, as empowered by the left and this woke agenda, has been vehemently dangerous. It has been consumed by identity politics, cancel culture, and a need to categorize people by their perceived privilege or victimhood. The woke agenda tied to modern feminism has also led to an aggressive culture shift where men are often villainized and traditional gender roles are openly mocked or rejected. It's where we get the term toxic masculinity. I think you've heard of that before. Which has become a catch-all term for anything deemed stereotypically male, like strength and leadership and stoicism, leading to the idea that these qualities are inherently harmful and or oppressive. This has contributed to the erosion of traditional family structures, with men being alienated from their roles as protectors, and providers and really, really great partners. Kamala Harris, the first female vice president of the United States, was supposed to be a triumph for feminism, a historic moment, a woman breaking glass ceilings. But somehow, she lost the male vote by a very large and wide margin. So how did the Dems lose you? How did that happen? Well, it's pretty simple, men. I think the Democrat Party has been dancing to a rhythm that has left a lot of men out of place and not realizing where they are supposed to be on the dance floor. They, meaning you, have felt increasingly alienated by the party's growing, let's call it enthusiasm for the feminist movement. And I'm not talking about women wanting equal pay and opportunity. I'm not talking about the modern feminist today. I'm talking about the over-the-top, Me Too, smash the patriarchy kind of rhetoric that has alienated large swaths of men like you. And as a result, you noticed. Men started scratching their heads, wondering where their place is in this modern world. Your every opinion was criticized. Every joke is now a microaggression. Every action is being scrutinized under the banner of toxic masculinity. So let's be honest. When was the last time a guy could say, man up, without getting a side look as if he said something out of place? We've been told for decades, and it's been growing, that real men, the kind who hold doors open for women and who carry heavy things and enjoy a good steak, are somehow relics of the past. In today's climate, being a guy who enjoys having a beard and hunting and fishing and, God forbid, rooting for his favorite football or hockey team is someone who is kind of outsidely privileged. Well, that's toxic masculinity by their definition. You know, the kind of masculinity that just wants to know if it's okay to compliment a woman without being labeled a predator. We need to get back to that. So, working class, middle American men felt they have been pushed aside by a party that was more interested in championing progressive cause than addressing the real issues that they actually care about. And I'm sure you've all seen it. The kind of feminism where every time a man opens his mouth, he's immediately guilty of mansplaining, even if he's just offering his opinion about, I don't know, something as simple as the weather. And don't get mad at me for starting the idea that men, it's your time, okay? A woman's behavior is now automatically viewed as a personal attack on the male opinion. You can't disagree with a woman these days as a man without being branded a misogynist, even if you're simply pointing out that maybe her 15-minute monologue on Instagram isn't the best source for political discourse. But the real issue isn't just the petty accusations. It goes much, much deeper than that. Over the past few years, men have found themselves under attack in ways that are truly, truly disturbing, not just to you, but to women as well. We're noticing. We've taken notice to this. The rise of what I call man-hating feminism has painted an entire gender with one really bad broad stroke. We've got movies where every male character is a bumbling idiot, incapable of basic problem solving without the female lead stepping in to save the day. You've got commercials where men are portrayed as emotionally stunted, unable to do basic things like taking care of their kids or buying the right deodorant. You've got entire think pieces about how men need to unlearn their behaviors because being a decent guy apparently isn't enough anymore. And let's talk about the so-called feminist laws that have emerged. I'm talking about the initiatives that have disproportionately targeted men in the legal system. Domestic violence? Sure, we should absolutely combat it. Absolutely. But when men are the victims, they're often dismissed or ignored because men can't be victims of abuse. False accusations affect sexual assault? Don't even get me started. Sure, men who commit heinous acts of violence, they should be punished. I think we can all agree with that. But when accusations are made against men without proof, it becomes a terrifying game of believe all women, no matter what the cost is. And suddenly, it's not about truth or justice. It's just about a woke ideologue or a narrative. And that narrative is making men afraid to speak up, hesitant to stand to their ground, or even to interact in a normal way. Let's talk about it on the college campuses. The rise of affirmative consent. Have you heard about this? Do you know what this is? Affirmative consent are the laws which practically criminalize men for having the audacity to think about sex without a signed legal document. It has created a world where young men are being trained to fear every woman they come across. Imagine that dating world. Because if there's one thing that can kill a relationship before it starts, it's teaching men that they must have a second guess for every single interaction to avoid the Me Too nightmare. We've gotten to a point where men can't even defend themselves without being labeled misogynistic or anti-feminist. Try telling a woman who's having a rant that maybe she should, I don't know, consider another perspective and watch as the feminists pull out the victim card like it's a magic spell. Not only is it to assert agenda to not win, it's a bad situation for men, to say the least. It's also a receipt and a recipe for confusion. Because here's the thing. Real men, the kind who are responsible and thoughtful and secure, don't want to feel like they're walking on eggshells every time they open their mouths or get together in a club. This is the kind of environment they've created in the last 4 years. This is what has been going on. This is what I've watched. This is what I've witnessed. And other women. The assault on men isn't just a verbal one anymore. It's institutional. It's political. It's embedded in every corner of society. The feminist movement, which started as a fight for equality, has been hijacked by a toxic brand of extremism that paints all men as the enemy. It's time to stop the pretending that the assault on men is a myth. And I would say particularly white men. So when you have me back, we'll talk about that specifically. We need to acknowledge that this is real. It is absolutely real. It's authentic, it's damaging, and it's hurting our society. But here's a savage truth we all need to confront. This isn't helping anyone. It's not helping you, it's not helping me, it's not helping our society, it's not helping America, and it's not helping future generations. The answer is not to tear men down, it's to build you up. The answer is to not demonize masculinity, but to encourage healthy masculinity, like what I've witnessed here today. We need men who are strong, like you, and compassionate, and responsible, and emotionally intelligent. We need men who can be leaders and protectors and nurturers in their own right. Now, there's going to be some backlash to my perspective today, probably more so from those who are watching the podcast in the comments below, all the women who are going to watch this. But feminism is all about equality. You missed that point. I'm sure I'm going to hear. Okay. But it's also about whether consciously or unconsciously shifting power dynamics. And let's not sugarcoat it, gentlemen. Sometimes that means making men feel like they're stripped of their traditional roles, whether they like it or not. Now, many want to install a branding of masculinity. I do not. The old and original definition was and remains, at least for me, perfect as it is. The phrase toxic masculinity is one of the most controversial and misunderstood terms of the last decade. It's been wielded like a hammer, smashing anything that resembles traditional masculinity, whether it's a guy opening a door for a lady or not crying during a movie. If you don't have a six-pack and cry at puppy commercials, well, maybe you're not in touch with your vulnerable feminine side, they would say. If you prefer power tools to Pilates, toxic. If you want to get dirty in the garage instead of getting your nails done, toxic. So, where am I going with this? Why am I here today? Why am I standing before you? Why was I invited? Where does that leave us today? And how do we realign healthy male roles in this gender-neutral world they've been trying to establish? Democrat men, Black men, Hispanic men, and men in general, how and why did the Harris team fail in their attempt to win the presidency? Her loss, the explanation of her loss for the male vote. Well, first and foremost, it was about the issues, and they missed that completely. Savage truth is, she didn't just lose men because of her gender. She lost men because the Democrat Party failed to recognize that men had their own set of valid concerns. The party was too busy, way too busy, catering to one side of the equation without realizing that it needed to balance the message to that didn't alienate half of the population. Men are half the population in this country. The more they pushed for the woke politics that seemed to be criticizing men, the more men retreated. I'm man enough commercials. You see those? I'm man enough to vote for Obama or Kamala Harris. We had Obama shaking his finger in a room full of Black men telling them that if they don't vote for Kamala, that they're misogynists. And it didn't go over well. We had commercials and we saw Tim Walz out supposedly hunting and he couldn't handle his gun. He was completely unfamiliar with it, right? I'm not a hunter, but I could see that. But here's the deal. I'm excited because we have the opportunity today, right now, to realign our society. Now, hopefully, maybe, just maybe, Democrats will learn and stop presenting feminism as a us versus them narrative. Not sure if they will or won't. Where masculinity is considered to be a villain. They'll need to recognize that if men feel disrespected, the entire country as a whole is then subsequently divided. Here's the savage truth for today. It's time to stop the gender war. Men, please, I implore you to just simply be yourselves. Now, as I conclude, I'm going to end with a little bit of irony to all this and perhaps a little bit of contradiction because I have some marching orders for you. And here they are. Here are your marching orders from a woman today. Men, it's time. It's time to stand tall. It's time to remember who you are, who you were meant to be, and what you are absolutely capable of. For far too long, you've been told to apologize for your very nature, your strength, your drive, your sense of purpose. Well, I'm here to tell you today, no more. No more hiding, no more shrinking, no more walking on eggshells in a world that's been trying to erase the very essence of what makes you, you. We need you to rise up and take back your rightful place in society. We need you to be men that are bold and decisive and confident and unafraid. It's time to take charge again and to lead. Now, let's be clear. Traditional masculinity is not at all toxic. It never was. It never will be. What is toxic is the narrative that men need to apologize for being strong, for being ambitious, for being protective, and for being courageous. It's time to embrace these qualities once more, unapologetically. You've been fed lies for far too long, told that you must abandon your natural instincts, your ability to lead and to build and to protect and to fight for what's right. But that stops now. That stops today. Men are the backbone of society. Men are the providers and the protectors. They're the builders. You are the fathers. You are the ones who carve the future, who push through adversity, and who lead by example. Don't you ever, ever, ever forget that or let that go. You've been allowed to identify, and your identity has been blurred, your power to be diminished, and your worth to be questioned, but no more. I implore you to stand tall and stand proud and reclaim your place. This is your time to rise above the noise, to reject the lies of a society that wants to tell you who to be and how to feel and what you're allowed to accomplish. There is no room for hesitation. There's no room for doubt and no time for apologies. You are not a villain for being masculine. You are the bedrock upon which this country and the entire world was built. From the moment men put their hands to the plow, from the moment men fought for freedom, from the moment men took risks and built cities, they were shaping the world. It's time to remember that power, that strength, and that drive. Do not let anyone or any movement take that from you. You were made for greatness, and your identity as a man is absolutely vital. Never, ever allow anyone, no group, no party, no agenda, to erase your significance. Your courage, your resilience, your ability to protect and provide, it's what the world needs right now more than ever. And for your family, we need you to deliver. For your community, we need you to deliver. And for your country, we need you to deliver. And for humanity, we absolutely need you to deliver. It's time to embrace the fullness of who you are. Step into your power. Lead without apology. Lead with strength and conviction and with honor. The world needs men who remember and know who they are. The world needs you. This is your call to action. Stand up. Be men. Lead us. Lead us women, wives and sisters and mothers and daughters. Lead us women in America. Back to greatness. This is your time. So please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, like all of you in this room, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, and be true. Thank you so much, you guys, for having me. It's been an absolute honor.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.